Good morning, beautiful people. Welcome to my channel, which focuses on Vedic astrology study from the perspective of your soul path, career and relationships. These are the focus areas of this channel. If you're new to my channel, please consider sharing the content with your fellow astrology enthusiasts, leaving your comments below in case you need to share anything interesting you found in your chart, etc. If you are my listener on the podcast directories like Spotify, Apple, Podcast Addict, Pandora and so on, welcome. Also, you might want to visit my YouTube channel, take screenshots of the chart displayed there so you can study alongside the chart, natal, navamsha, D10 and so on and so forth. Also, for those listening on the podcast directory, you might want to take advantage of the Vedic Astrology Beginners course, which is available in the memberships area as a playlist on my channel. YouTube link is in the description box. You might want to visit that and take advantage of that. That is not being covered on the podcast directory. If you need a personal reading, do get in touch with me on the email, both on the podcast directory as well as on YouTube channel. We can explore what's going on in your life and what you need some assistance or clarity with. You see, the entire purpose, as I see it, of Jyotish and Vedic astrology is to get clarity in your mind about what's going on in different areas of your life, what your soul path is driving you towards in this lifetime, and where you can put yourself, apply yourself to the best possible outcomes, be it in any area of life. We all have different areas of life. Primarily, I focus on soul path, your life path, profession, career, job, business, etc., as well as intimate relationships. And all the podcasts here cover pretty much personality, relationships and career as the determinants of how you want to engage with the rest of the world. We all are born in some way, some form in different societies. The whole idea is to best put yourself at use where you are happy doing what you're doing, you're content doing what you're doing, and you feel your life has a meaning and a purpose somewhere. We are just trying to unlock that using the tools of Vedic astrology. Now that we have finished studying the Amatya Karaka in different Navamsha, the 12 of them, let us do some career case studies for Amatya Karaka, because unless we do some case studies, unless we implement and study the Amatya Karaka from the perspective of charts, actual charts or virtual charts, we won't know how it is applied or what it really means, isn't it? It's like trying to understand physics without applying it in a lab. You have to test this out on charts. So as much charts as you can get your hands on, practice these principles. If you have queries, you can leave it as comments in the comment box. But please take time to understand these principles first. All the series on Amatya Karaka and in Navamsha playlist, uncover all of that first. Study the basic principles and then come to this career case studies. Right, let's get into it. What are the six principles or six aspects I have taken into consideration in career case studies of Amatya Karaka? Number one, we are going to study Amatya Karaka in D1 and D9 charts. Both, that is to say, your natal as well as your Navamsha chart, we shall study how the position of Amatya Karaka goes. Number two, we shall study the relations to the Atma Karaka in both, your soul significator, yourself, Atma Karaka. And podcasts are already covered on Atma Karaka, you might want to go through that. What is your soul relationship with your profession? Is it helping? Is there someone helping in your profession? Atma Karaka and Amatya Karaka relationship in both D1 and D9 also we shall cover. Number three, the placement in houses and signs in both natal as well as Navamsha charts. That will also be covered. Because where the houses are playing in the natal and where it moves to in Navamsha is significant, isn't it? And also the sign, because the qualities of the sign carries to both Atma Karaka and Amatya Karaka. Number four, types, progress, challenges and successes in career, because we are focusing in these career case studies only. So we will deal with focal point as Amadhya Karaka, and we will study Atma Karaka with respect to Amadhya Karaka. All right. Number 5, we will also try to borrow some hints from nakshatra placement of Amadhya Karaka in the natal chart, because that's the physical manifestation. Yes, I already spoke of this. You might want to go through previous ones. Natal chart is your physical manifestation of reality. Navamsha is your internal self and all things going forward in your life. Essentially, when a soul is born, the way we apply Vedic astrology is from birth till the time you're 30 years old, till the time Saturn matures in a chart. What happens is you are acting more like only the physical manifestation, because you are pretty much in the hands of others. After 30 years, really it matures, and then the aspects of Navamsha kick in. So Navamsha literally is going forward in your life, the fortunes of your life. Yeah, this is the way also it is interpreted. So we shall try to borrow some nakshatra placement of Amadhya Karaka in the natal chart also. Now, nakshatras are already covered extensively in the 27 nakshatras of Vedic astrology playlist. Number 6, and very important point, I needed some charts to study here as a part of this exercise. And so what I have done is I have considered case studies. This entire case studies is for Gen Z, just like I did for Nakshatra Pada. Gen Z meaning 1998 onwards, who are born from 1998 onwards. Yes, you can Google it if you want. All case studies are of Gen Z kids. Names are all virtual, really. I have just stuck in virtual names. Names don't mean anything. They are random charts of Gen Z generation, starting from the year 2000 for Amadhya Karaka. Let us begin. Before we begin the actual case studies, it is important for you to remember some rules in the Jaimini system of evaluation in astrology, which is very different to the Parashara system. Jaimini, first of all, focuses on Rashi Drishti, that means the sign aspects. Which sign is aspecting which sign? Aries is aspecting Leo, for example, like that. The sign aspects, these are not planetary aspects, which sign aspects it? So let's go through these 8 rules listed there on the screen. Number 1, Rashi Drishti. Every movable sign aspects all fixed signs except the one right next to it. Keep this rule book in your thing. You can take screenshots if you wish. Every fixed sign aspects all movable signs except the one right next to it. So, movable aspects fixed except the one next to it. Fixed aspects all movable except the one next to it. Every dual sign aspects all other dual signs only. Okay. Then there is the Graha Drishti, that is a planetary vision. The planetary vision says Jaimini primarily uses Rashi Drishti, but planets inherit the aspect of the sign they sit in. So planets sitting in movable sign will aspect all other planets which are in fixed signs except the one next to it. Apply the same principle to all the first three rules. So planets essentially sitting in movable, fixed or dual sign, because Jaimini is based only on sign astrology, not so much on planets. Planets will automatically inherit everything about the sign. This applies to all planets, including Rahu and Ketu. So as we shall see going further into the case studies, you will see that sometimes or many times in a chart, Rahu and Ketu both end up aspecting a particular planet. Because even though Rahu and Ketu are on opposite sides of every chart, but based on this kind of an analysis, based on Rashi Drishti, they both might end up aspecting a planet, and we shall see that in case studies. Some special considerations to see. Point number 6, Jaimini focuses on sign to sign influence, not degrees. Even if planets are far apart within the Rashi, they still aspect through Rashi Drishti. The same thing which I spoke of earlier. The only thing angles or degrees is considered is from Atma Karaka to Dhara Karaka. The 7 Karakas is based on angle. what is your Atmakaraka, what is your Amadhyakaraka, what is your Bhratrikaraka, and so on. That considers the angle, but the sign-to-sign influence is very dominant here. Even if one is sitting in 12th house and one is sitting in 3rd house, for example, if the signs are influencing, the planets in those signs also are influencing one another. See, all this gets very complex unless we do some case studies, isn't it? So we shall do that from now on. 7th point, unlike the Parashari system, Gemini does not use special aspects like Saturn's 3rd or 10th position or Jupiter's 5th or 9th position. Those are Parashara rules. Gemini system does not use these rules of aspecting. It only considers sign aspect and planets therefore placed in those signs. Aspects, last rule, number 8, aspects are applied heavily in Charadasha analysis. If you want to do your predictive analysis, they interpret again based on this sign and interpreting the Karaka planets, Amartya Karaka, Atma Karaka, and so on, all the 7 Karakas of Gemini. So we shall do analysis this way going forward. Let us begin. Let us do the career case study for Anika. This is a virtual chart taken from the Gen Z bracket, that is 1998 year onwards. Natal chart is there on your screen. Gemini Karakas are there at the bottom. On the right side, you have the Mercury as Amartya Karaka, because we are doing case studies of career. It should be Amartya Karaka as the focus point and analysis. Let's go one by one. First of all, I see Atma Karaka and Amartya Karaka as Venus and Mercury respectively. So something has in her career will be underscored by the attributes of Venus. Soul has to be present along with Mercury aspects which she will bring to her career. Meaning Mercury means what? Intellect, communication, logic, trade, adaptability. Skills of all kinds, analytical skills. Your logic and reasoning skills is Mercury. That's what she will bring to her profession as an element, okay? When Amartya Karaka is Mercury. So your good beginning point in any analysis of career when you talk of Gemini is take the characteristics of the planet which is appearing as Amartya Karaka as the qualities of the determinant of your career path and what you bring to the career. What qualities might your career have? In her case, it's dominantly Mercury, so it's about communication. It's oriented towards professions involving communication, involving teaching, writing, business, strategy, data analysis, and all kinds of analytical reasoning, really. You can bring it to any field. Her professional attitude would be sharp, she's versatile, curious, and problem-solving type of nature. Think Gemini, think Virgo, ruled by Mercury. She would thrive in fields where adaptability and communication with people are central to her. Feeling as a soul. Of course, there is Venus as the Atma Karaka, so there she will bring her definitely an element of creativity to it, aesthetics to it. So blend of Venus and Mercury, you might say. Let us see the natal chart analysis. Now Mercury is placed in Cancer in her 7th house, conjunct Mars, Sun and Jupiter. So this is a stellium of planets there. All in Cancer and all in 7th sign, 7th place in Cancer sign. So Cancer, first of all, lends a degree of moodiness to her profession, very moody in nature. Mind, Mercury becomes moody in Cancer, subject to fluctuations. Everything is done based on mood. Whether I like it today, I'm feeling good or not, then I will do the work. Otherwise, I'll just switch off. You know, that kind of an attitude. But let's see, go through what the conjunctions will bring in a minute. The planet Mercury as Amartya Karaka is sitting in Cancer. So it's a movable sign. Movable sign is aspected by a fixed sign except the one next to it. Gemini rules, not mine. So planet in 4 except 5 will be affected by every other fixed planet, that is in Taurus. I've not highlighted that here, but consider that. Planets in Taurus, planets in Aquarius, planets in Scorpio, the other 3 fixed signs. What does that give us? What is there in Taurus? There's Rahu in the fifth house. So Mercury with Jupiter as teacher, teaching the fifth house children. That might be one of the things we can consider. Also, Moon is placed in Aquarius in the second house. Support from the mother. Moon also stands for mother. Support in her career paths. And Moon is in second house in Aquarius. So there's a dominant need for gains. Okay. Mind is focused on gains, on social impact. Aquarius is all about social impact. And then there is Ketu in the 11th house. It's sort of a detachment or transformation coming from the collective through her career path. This is the second case where we are seeing Rahu and Ketu both impacting Mercury. So there is some ancestral stuff going on. Whenever Rahu and Ketu both impact the particular Atma Karaka or Amartya Karaka, think more on along ancestral lines also. Natal chart analysis, placement of Mercury, Cancer in the 7th house. Let's go through the bullet points. 7th house ties to public interaction, business partnerships, trade, consulting and diplomacy. Cancer influence adds emotional intelligence, moodiness, sensitivity, nurturing qualities to communication driven roles. Marketing would be one of them. But since there is Ketu in the 11th house, there is sort of a detachment from that collective. And Rahu is in the 5th, also aspecting this. There might be an over-obsession or drive towards teaching the children. 5th house is a house of children. Professions may involve counseling, law, business partnerships and client-centered industries. Why 7th house? It is sitting in this house aspect, it is taking consideration here. Conjunctions, Mercury with Jupiter expands intellectual capacity, brings teaching and consulting, publishing, law or advisory roles. Remember, we spoke of Mercury, Jupiter is an advisor. Sagittarius is an advisor. Mercury plus Sun adds authority, sort of an ego layer to the communication. Self-centered, career in politics, media, law, business leadership or administration. Mercury with Mars gives a strategic aggression, logical approach to the career. But Mars in Cancer does not do well. Mars becomes very emotionally moody, does not like rules, you know, that kind of a thing. Possible careers in law, IT, engineering, analytics, competitive fields like sales and advocacy. Is there a possibility of technical fields like engineering? Yes, there is. Why do I say that? Because Mercury is conjunct Mars and Sun. Both are malefics. So Mercury conjunct technical planets, also conjunct with Rahu and Ketu as per Gemini rules, lends a very good degree of technical ability. Whenever we get stuck like this in evaluating career using one system, take the help of others also. Have a look. For example, Saturn is in Gemini. Saturn is the Karaka of work in BPHS. So Saturn in Gemini sitting in the 6th house in Mrigshira Nakshatra. So there is an element of continuously improving the knowledge base and working as daily routine, 6th house. Also, Atma Karaka Venus is sitting in Leo, and from the Parashara aspect, it is being impacted by Ketu. It is not being impacted by Ketu, but there is a sort of connection between 5th and the 11th house. Okay, because Ketu is impacting the house of career. Also, Venus is sitting in the house of transformation. So there is an element of transformation going on within the career through life for this particular girl. Aspects. Ketu in Scorpio adds depth, unconventional networks, potential detachment from material gains. Indicates research-oriented and esoteric career paths. Like I said, Ketu in Scorpio in the 11th and Atma Karaka also sitting in the 8th house. Suggests research and analysis. Also Saturn in Mrigshira in the 6th house. So there might be an element of research oriented career. Okay. Think about that. Moon in 2nd house in Aquarius adds emotional influence on speech, wealth, indicating careers tied to public speaking, networks or community service. Moon in also is in Aquarius. Ketu is also in 11th house. So there is a connection between earning through research. Aquarius, second house. Ketu, 11th house in Scorpio. So there is a strong element of research-driven roles through her career also. Now let's look at Navamsha and how that plays out. Within the Navamsha chart, we see more of research orientation, which is good. We saw the elements of that. So there is an element of she being a researcher of sorts in the natal, because whatever the person thinks internally in Navamsha has to manifest or be supported in the natal, yes, otherwise it won't happen. This is one thing we need to clearly understand. You might have obsessions about something as a career path. We are strictly talking career here. You might want to spend your life in this and that. But if it is not supported in natal, there is not going to be manifestation. That means to say, you are only dreaming about it. There is no support for physical manifestation. Stop battling all these kinds of things. It will be helpful. So Mercury in her Navamsha goes to Sagittarius sign in the 8th house, and also it's in Mula Nakshatra if you want to go the Parashara route. So Mercury is going into a very deep dive esoteric study in the Navamsha, making policies, rules and regulations. If you're unsure what I'm saying, check out the Amatya Karaka in Sagittarius Navamsha. So this is Sagittarius Navamsha. It's all about rules, regulations, guidelines, writing stuff, because Mercury is placed there. In this case, it is being aspected by dual signs, other dual signs. Planet in dual signs will be aspected by all dual signs, right? So there's only one planet sitting in Pisces, Moon in the 11th house. What are the other dual signs? 3, 6. 3 and 6 are empty. The second house and the fifth house in Navamsha is empty. It's only aspected by Moon in the 11th house, which is in Pisces. Moon in Pisces, straight off the bat, I can say it is more emotional drain or giving away emotions to the collective. There is an element of deep emotional resonance with the collective, wants to donate a lot of things to the collective. I'm taking all Piscean aspects, and wants to bring that in her research. So see, there is a desire, you might say, Moon and Mercury, to bring all the knowledge and whatever this individual knows, maybe even from past lives, into the collective arena, into the social networks, into social media maybe. Now I'm analysis. Let's go one by one. The 8th house emphasizes research, transformation, hidden knowledge. Is there a connection between house 8 and 11? Yes. See, direct aspect is there. If 8th house and 11th house are connected by planets, then you can analyze for career paths in occult research and so on. In this case, it is there. Careers may involve finance, banking, insurance, taxation, research, psychology, law, and investigation. Sagittarius adds higher learning, ethics, law, teaching, giving Mercury's analytical skills a philosophical, institutional orientation. Let's take other planets for the career path just a minute. Saturn is sitting conjunct Sun in Libra in the 6th house. So there is an element of daily work pertaining to masses. Libra is masses. Okay. It's not impacting this particular one. There's no direct impact, but there is an undercurrent of presence, you might say. Aspects, Moon in 11th house in Pisces, strengthens gain from networks, social groups or institutions, humanitarian organizations, non-governmental organizations, large organizations, multinational companies is 11th house, indicates emotional intelligence and adaptability in collective environments. Profession involves research, advisory, financial or legal roles even. Legal, I would say a little, because like I said, Saturn is sitting in the 6th house in Libra. So there's a concern, and Mercury as Amatya Karaka is in the sign of 9, the sign of rules and regulations, legality. So there might be a connection to large institutions, networks, multinational companies. And Moon here becomes supportive of her goals. She has to give away emotionally speaking, to the masses. That becomes her chosen soul path here. Now let us do the conclusions. Now let us conclude for Anika. So the natal chart is there, Navamsha chart is there, and conclusions listed here. Let's go one by one. First, let's correlate natal and Navamsha. In natal, strong focus in partnerships, communication, law, teaching, business, and public engagement, because it's in the 7th house. Navamsha, however, adds depth with research, hidden knowledge, transformations, and also fields of finance, of law, psychology, or esoteric studies, like we just saw. Combined view of natal and Navamsha. Career begins with communication, consulting, partnership-based network. And later in life, remember, Navamsha is also considered everything post 30 years of age. Matures into research, advisory, legal, or institutional service with deep, emotionally transformative impact. Consider that way, because there's moon in the 11th. Challenges. What could be the possible challenges here? 7th house, Mercury with multiple conjunctions in the natal. Overloaded communication responsibilities. There's the risk of conflict in partnerships, also burnout. Sun plus Mars sitting in Cancer give a sort of an emotional turmoil, right? Because Cancer is a sign of emotion through her career, and it impacts her career. Because of her moodiness, because of the influence of the boss, Sun, Mars, brothers, or other logical people, or Jupiter, teachers, this might lead to a, you know, overburdening of the emotional body, you might say. Cancer sign influence lends emotional sensitivity, may affect judgment. The 8th house in D9, Mercury, career fluctuations, okay, he's taking 8th house aspects, fine. Hidden struggles, okay. A transformation crisis, I would put more in the hands of research. Research ability is a lot here. Overall, putting natal and Navamsha together. Success indicators. Mercury as Amartya Karaka ensures sharp intellect, adaptability, and communication mastery, which this individual, beautiful Anika, achieves through life. Strong conjunctions in D1 provide wisdom, authority, and drive, internally speaking. And that's where she might bring it in the physical reality. Remember, natal is always physical reality. Navamsha in Sagittarius gives ethical, philosophical grounding, useful for law, teaching, and advisory roles. Moon's aspect in both D1 and D9 strengthens emotional intelligence and public connection. So likely professions are many. As you can see, these likely professions in every case study will become quite diverse. You have to see the time, place, and the inclination of the subject. What is your personal inclination? If you are studying these charts along with me and seeing your Amartya Karaka placements in a certain way, conjunct certain places, you must evaluate what kind of a person you are. This is why astrology is best just taught. You know, it's far simpler, far more deeper, far more wider, so that you can analyze your own chart in a meaningful way. Likely professions, law, judiciary, consulting, arbitration, I would say more along teaching lines, education, teaching, and publishing. Yes, I see that dominant. Business partnerships, not so much. Finance, banking, well, not so much. Research, psychology, esoteric studies, yes, there is a tendency there. That's what the career path of Anika is. I'll see you in the next. Leave your comment if you find something regarding your Amartya Karaka in your chart or someone you know. Be safe.